I think it is a real joy, a blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be able to be here another Monday afternoon. And we are thankful for what the Lord's done for us. It's beyond really my comprehension, saving me when I was unworthy of Him, having mercy upon me and bringing me up and out of chaos and confusion and changing me completely on the inside and putting me in newness of life. It's been a wonderful life. 41 years ago, something wonderful happened inside me. I got born again. That is, God, Christ was born in me. Had my sins forgiven and was made a brand new creature. I know what it is to be saved and to know Him as your personal Savior. And I always knew about Him from a little bitty boy, as far back as I can remember. I've always knew Jesus was the Son of God, but I didn't have a personal relationship with Him. But I got saved and born again and gave up my sorry self. And when He operated on my heart and transformed me and changed me, made a difference. He put me in newness of life. The old things I used to run after, the smoking, the gambling, the cussing, the drinking, all those things I'd done as a young teenager and a young man. But when I got converted and Jesus got alive in me, He put His Spirit within me, and whereby the Bible said it cries out, "But Father," I had a new desire with a new heart to do what was pleasing, acceptable, and sight. Even at that, I'm still far short of what I'd like to be, help to be, God being my helper, but I'm glad that I'm saved. My sins are forgiven and under the blood, and I have right now inside me His blessed presence. It's wonderful to be saved and to know Him as your personal Savior. Most of the world knows about Him. Very few folk know Him personally in their own heart. We got lost church members by the millions and even the billions who profess to know Him, but that all that is just a figment of their imagination. They've never had a real personal experience in grace. They've got excited and, I guess, felt good, a case of the do-betters, and turned over a new leaf and joined up with the church and were baptized or sprinkled and whatever their rituals were within the church and felt better and thought that was all there was to it. They didn't have any understanding about what it means to really be saved and born again. Jesus said you must be born again. And, beloved, that's a second birth. That's the Lord from heaven. That only happens when you get genuine in your repentance, when you give up yourself and you get ashamed of yourself and you sorrow. The Bible said after a godly sort. That means you sorrowful that you sin against God, not especially that sin caught up with you, but that you sin against God and you shame yourself and you ask God to have mercy upon you, a sinner. As the psalmist said, this poor man cried, the Lord heard his cries, even about all his troubles that happened to me. A personal experience of grace, thank God, was operation of faith happened in my heart 41 wonderful years ago. And I never have been the same. I've been a brand new creature, brand new creation in Christ Jesus, and the old things passed away, and all things became new to me when I got saved. And it saddens my heart to see so many people. I call these multimillionaire preachers on TV religious thieves. That's all they are. They're a bunch of dumb dogs that can't bark, a bunch of wolves in sheep clothing. And, beloved, the woods are full of them, and the church is full of lost church members. And, of course, instead of it being, Jesus said, a house of prayer, it's become a den of thieves. I call them a community clubhouse. That's about all they are. They go there, and of course, they give the money, and they join up with the church. They get either sprinkled or baptized, whatever it is that their denomination requires them to do, and they feel like everything's lovely. I mean, they tell themselves that, but they know they've got a God-given conscience, and there's something missing inside them. Something's just not right, but they don't really get real enough or look at themselves long enough to really realize that something's going on and something's missing on the inside. They need to experience the new birth. Of course, they got those hirelings, those wolves in sheep clothing, those dumb dogs that can't bark, those people standing in the pulpit who claim themselves to be some type of special minister, anointed one, a divine one. They just pull themselves and rotten and corrupted. And believe they belong to the devil. The Bible said the devil himself has transformed himself as an angel of light, and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. And beloved, they're not saved. And God have mercy on this poor, pitiful, sick, lost, religious world. Oh, wouldn't it, God, everybody was saved, but wouldn't everybody get to heaven? But it's an evident fact, beloved, most folk are not saved. You can tell that by the way they conduct themselves, by the way that they live. Not that we're not all capable of acting like fools we are, but when a person's been saved and born again, he may fall, but brother, he can't enjoy it. He can't enjoy sin. If you can enjoy sin, you're not saved. When you get saved, God will put a new desire in you, a new nature in you, God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I guarantee your life will automatically be turned around and changed. He'll put you in newness of life. Old things will pass away and all things become new to you when you get saved. I'm talking about saved from sin. I'm talking about experiencing a new birth. And most of the world doesn't know anything about it. I know they've got the meatheads. I call them a bunch of meatheads, a bunch of pimps, spiritual pimps, love it. And they're standing in the pulpit. them up people out of their money. They're a bunch of hirelings, a bunch of dumb dogs that can't bark. God have mercy. Apostates, if you will. They're full of apostasy and pretense. And, beloved, they don't know God. In reality, only with tongue in cheek, and they're in it as a game, as a gimmick. I said they're a bunch of spiritual pimps, and, beloved, they're not real. And God have mercy on the poor, pitiful people that sit in their congregations and give their money and get up and carry on with them. Beloved, they're blinded by the devil, by the godless world. Jesus said the blind cannot lead the blind at all. Fall into the ditch. They have no life, no light in them, beloved. And the godless world, the devil himself, has blinded their minds. The Bible said, let the light, the good news of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. They don't have the word of God preached to them. In reality, that's why they're overwhelmed with folly and foolishness and all the emotions of the flesh. God have mercy. We're living in the times of perilous times, meaning dangerous times. The Bible said, where men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud boasters, blasphemers, children being disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, truce breakers, heady, high-minded, and lovers of pleasure. The Bible said more than lovers of God. We're in perilous, dangerous times. We're in bad times when people, beloved, don't care about anything but themselves. That is most people. A lot of people still care about others, but that's wonderful. But a lot of folks don't. That is interested in themselves. God have mercy. We're living in a time when men are lovers of their own selves, proud boasters and blasphemers, and children are certainly disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, truce breakers, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. God have mercy. We're living in times of pretense and apostasy. And during that time when Jesus came into the temple, he seen all the money changers in the temple. They're making mockery, making money, of course, out of the house of God. Of course, he made a scourge or a whip, and he drove them out there and overturned the money changers and run them out of there. He said, it is written, my house, the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And that's what it is today. God have mercy, so-called churches today, and they're not real churches, but they got a steeple on the top of the roof or some type of image. They're trying to make themselves show that they're some type of religious organization or so-called church. But, beloved, they're not a real church, and they don't have a real pastor in there, beloved. They've got a hireling. The most of them like that, and I would that God they were real, but they're not. And this is dangerous times when people are just in apostasy and pretense, and they don't even know what right is anymore. They just measure up and look at things the way they want to after the imagination of their own evil heart and justify everything they do. And this old stinking flesh of mine and yours, by the way, will go right along with you. The devil is the god of the flesh and puts the power there. The Bible said the spirit is now working, and the children are disobedient, the unsaved. The devil's got their mind. And he tries to capture and captivate the Christian's mind. He works on me all the time. When I got saved, why, the devil didn't stop working on me. I got the overcome on the inside. Inside me is perfect because that's where Jesus lived. But my stinking flesh is still rotten and wretched, and I still get tempted on every hand. The devil works on me all the time, and he'll do that I get out of this vile body. But I'm going to thank God I had a transformation. I said before, I'm so glad that Jesus found me before the Baptist did. And I'm a Baptist preacher, but I'm ashamed of most Baptists need a dose of salvation. And most of the so-called Baptist pastors, they need a dose of salvation. And they need a God call. They need to be God called. There's not anything real about the majority of them, beloved. They're a bunch like the rest, a bunch of hirelings. They love to get in these big churches and get this big congregation. There's nothing wrong with it if the Lord is in it, but the Bible said the world heareth its own, and beloved, they're of the world. That's why the world hears them, because they have the Bible said the last day that he themselves teaches have been itching ears. They're tickling the ears of the people. They're telling them what they want to hear, beloved, and they're seducing them, enticing them, and flattering them, and giving them some type of position or job in the church, especially the big money givers, so they get to their back pocket. God have mercy. We're living in days of apostasy and pretense. God have mercy when people are dying in sin and going to hell, and the world, beloved, is religious and lost. God help us during the time, always has been, especially during the time of Jesus near, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and what they done to Jesus, the Lord of glory. They crucified him. They said, give us a murderer. Give us Barabbas. We don't want Jesus turned loose. We want him to be crucified. Crucify, they said. Crucify him. And, beloved, they did. They gave him over to the howling mob and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, beloved, and brought him to trial, scourged him and beat him about half to death, and then took him up Golgotha's hill, beloved, and put the spikes in his hand and then his feet, hung him there, beloved, and then they pierced him
him in his side, and they'd done everything they could to drain all the blood out. The Bible said, the psalmist said in Psalm 22, he said his strength was dried up like a parched herd. His tongue clave to his jaw, couldn't raise up his tongue, beloved. He was so wore out, and all of his blood was just about drained out of his body, beloved. And it said then, his dying hours, his heart like wax when it's melted, run like water in the midst of his bowels. His heart exploded, beloved. He died an awful death to redeem us from our sorry, good for nothing sins. He's a wonderful Savior. He's real, and he saves sinners. I know that for be a fact, because he saved the vile sinner when he saved me, unworthy as I was, still unworthy, beloved. I have never been worthy. I never could be worthy. If I got what I had coming, I'd already be burning in hell. But I'm glad God had mercy upon me. My mother's prayers called up with me when I was about 23 years old. Something wonderful happened on the inside of me. Thank God he heard my feeble prayer. I didn't really know how to pray. Still don't. But, beloved, I would come to him just like I was. He understood what I wanted, what I was saying, what I needed. My heart was doing all the speaking. I gave up myself. I got ashamed of myself. I called on God to have mercy upon me, a sinner, and forgive him my sins. And I accepted what he done at Calvary, his atoning blood, made the offering and paid the price for my sins, beloved. I knew that and accepted that. I asked him to save me, and he heard me, and he did save me, and he changed me completely. Beloved, the old man died 41 years ago. The old man, that is old Jared, the old fleshly man, was crucified. I gave up myself. I called on him with a broke heart and a contrite spirit, and he heard me, and he saved me, and he changed me completely on the inside, and put me into this life. It's been a wonderful 41 years. I've said before, I've not endured this, praise God, I've enjoyed it. What a wonderful life it is to know him as your personal Savior, and be privileged to serve him and to try to live for him. He's a wonderful Savior. And beloved, he died for your sins this afternoon. He took your place at Calvary, and you'll never get to heaven by being good and doing good. If you get in that way, then of course he died a vain death. He had to die because he said there was no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father. Nobody's going to heaven except by him. Thank God he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He took your place at Calvary, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, beloved, and died the death of a sinner, yet he knew no sin, but became sin. You and I, that might be made the righteousness of God in him. I hope you get to heaven. If you do, you have to get in through the door. Jesus is the door. Repent. Repent of your sin. Give up yourself and call on him in reality. Love it, you'll do that. Turn loose yourself. He'll save you. I'll guarantee you'll know it when he does. And life will never be the same when he's saved. You see, my time just about gone. Now write to us. Pray for us. And God bless you. It's our prayer in his name. Amen.